Welcome to Playmakers Talk Show, where business owners, professionals, and entrepreneurs gather to discover playmaking ideas for success. Your host is internationally recognized speaker, facilitator, and author, Steve Klein, who sits down with fascinating playmakers who have made themselves and their company successful. Steve will introduce you to CEOs and executives who discuss their playmaking path toward success. And now, it's time to meet this show's playmaker. Here's your host, Steve Klein.
Ralph Waldo Emerson said, "The world makes way for the man who knows where he's going." Welcome to Playmakers Talk Show. I'm Steve Klein. In the studio today is a guest who knows where he's going. Today's Playmakers company was recognized by both the Inc. 5000 and the Aggie 100 last year. With us today is a business owner with one company founded in 1945 and another last year. This great playmaker is Brett Muller. Brett is principal and founder of Guardian Services and L3 Commercial Real Estate Services. Now, Brett's an investor, developer, and entrepreneurial mentor. Founded in 1945, Guardian Services has been providing professional kitchen exhaust cleaning services to thousands of hotels, restaurants, clubs, schools, hospitals, and franchises. In the 1970s, Guardian began providing residential and commercial customers with HVAC duct and system cleaning and restoration services. Last year, Brett founded L3 Commercial Real Estate to actively assist client property owners with their development planning and execution. L3 seeks to acquire and develop light commercial multi-tenant properties in strategically located markets. L3 currently has its first property under construction in Grand Prairie and should be completed in early 2018. Well, we have a lot to talk about, Brett. Welcome to Playmakers Talk Show.
Thanks for having me. I'm happy to be here.
Well, you majored in political science at A&M. How did poli-sci lead you to acquiring Guardian Services 9, 10 years ago?
Yes. Well, political science was where I ended up after starting school in the mechanical engineering department. I kind of allowed the career, you know, advisors and such to guide me in a direction that seemed to make sense to me at the time coming out of high school. Mechanical engineering, I had never had a problem with math. I enjoyed problem solving. I had some creative tendencies. And so when I started to look at schools, A&M was a pretty natural choice. And after visiting the campus, I fell in love with the school. And so started my freshman year there. But, you know, early on, I kind of realized that I did not enjoy math at that level.
Even though you're good at it.
I had never had a problem. But I really didn't enjoy the kind of mathematics that were going to be necessary for me to be successful as a mechanical engineer. And I struggled, kind of decided, you know, I need to make a shift here. And at the time, there was a little bit of a battle going on between the engineering and the business school. And they were fighting about allowing transfers. And so I looked around and saw political science as an opportunity. There was an easy path to transfer, and I could still have access to all of the classes I wanted to take in the business school. So it kind of seemed like the best of both worlds. And I had an interest in politics. And so I decided to pursue it. And it ended up being a great path for me because I was able to kind of craft a degree that spoke to me, take the classes and things that made sense, you know, for my path.
Now, have you used political science at all prior, in between graduating school and acquiring Guardian Services?
You know, I did an internship my senior year in college. I worked at the Department of Health and Human Services in D.C., which was fascinating. What it did best was to demonstrate to me that I did not want a career working for the federal government.
Well, many times just taking a job helps you know if this is what you want to do for your career.
Right.
And you obviously found that out.
Yeah. You know, after studying political science, you know, I was very much, I had the bug and decided to kind of put that to the test. And so after spending 6 months in D.C., it was very clear to me that I wanted to be back in Texas and I wanted to be in business of some sort. And so came back to Texas and had a few jobs in sales, landed in commercial real estate. And so I worked for a wine garden in Houston originally, leasing and asset management, and then a string of companies since then, just kind of generally in commercial real estate, property development, land acquisition, those kinds of things.
Well, that's going to lead us to the next subject when we get to your new business, which you started last year. But you have a family history of small business and entrepreneurship.
Yes.
Was that upbringing, was getting that through osmosis from your family, did that help you move toward acquiring Guardian Services?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Growing up, you know, it was very natural to me that people own businesses. That was not a weird thing to me. I grew up sweeping the floors and making copies in my dad's office. It was a business that was started by my great-grandfather. The vast majority of my family worked there at one point or time or another in various roles. And so, you know, I got to see that kind of, you know, work being done and people working together, and everybody seemed to be enjoying themselves for the most part. And so I had a very positive view of that. My mom started a business when I was a kid. She had a pet sitting business. And so I would go around with her in the afternoons and we would feed dogs and change cat litter and feed the fish. And I don't know. It all just seemed like a lot of fun to me. It didn't really seem like work. And so ultimately, I think I always had hoped to be a business owner at some point.
You mentioned sales and commercial real estate as one of the jobs you had, and I can see you probably had a difficult time being an employee. You probably enjoyed sales as one job where, though you're working for somebody, you're almost on your own anyway.
Right.
And I can see how you moved to this. What was the introduction then to Guardian Services? Where did that come into play?
So in 2008, I had left a position here in Dallas with a commercial real estate development company. The market was very much upside down at the time, and I was frustrated because some of my compensation was a commission, and I couldn't get any deals done. Everybody, they kept getting shot down.
Well, this was the Great Recession, or
yes,
the beginning of that.
Well, in the very early days of it, actually, land, raw land, was kind of leading the pack in a lot of ways because things were very much upside down in raw land. And so I left that position. I wasn't out of work a week, and I got a call from my wife's grandparents. And they said, hey, we heard that you're looking for a position. We have this business. You don't know anything about it. But would you be willing to step in and kind of act like a general manager? Because the owner is out sick and we're worried. We don't want it to go out of business. We own some stock. We want to protect the family business. That was interesting to me. Okay, where is it? What do I do? And so I worked out a deal and I stepped in as kind of a temporary general manager, knowing nothing about the business or the people or the customers or anything. And just started, you know, learning from the ground up. What does this company do? What is it about? How was the work done? I rode on trucks. I cleaned hoods. I just kind of put my hands on everything so I could, you know, really understand what was going on.
So it sounds like serendipity brought you here with all those connections. It was the right move for you. But let's talk, before I ask you a few other questions, about your development of the business. What does Guardian Services do?
So Guardian Services provides professional kitchen exhaust system maintenance services to mostly large, complex, high-security facilities. We currently service DFW Airport. We have a number of private corporate dining facilities and high-security buildings, defense contractors, and then a number of universities, schools, hospitals. And what we've been able to do is deliver a package of value to our customers that's not just about showing up and leaving the hood cleaner than we found it. It's preventative maintenance services. It's the ability to deliver staff on time and with security clearances and background checks and assurance that those people are going to operate professionally in the environment that they're in. And then also to follow up with the 24-hour emergency support. Sometimes things go wrong at odd hours. Somebody needs to be available to solve that problem. And then also kind of a package of before and after photos, warranties of the service and guarantees, and then kind of planning and services as well that we provide to our customers whenever they're expanding or making changes to their facilities. You know, we support those efforts as well.
As we talked before the show started, you're really in the customer service business. Your business is to take care of them, and you also have a niche, too, in the high security businesses you're working with. Again, you talked about clearances. It takes a special company with the right kind of people to be able to go in and handle that business. So was that something that the Guardian was involved with before you took over, or is that something you developed since you took over Guardian?
You know, when I stepped in, we did have a few customers in that space, but we only had one or two employees that could really get access. And I saw an opportunity there. If we could really build that in as part of our service offering, if we could have a complete staffing program that brought in those types of personnel that could pass those background checks and security clearances and everything else so that we really could get in and work everywhere, that would open some doors for us. And that turned out to be true. So that's worked out very well for us because once we do earn these customers' trust, it's generally very hard to unseat us. We've really got to shoot ourselves in the foot.
And I can see, yes, if that would happen, but it would be difficult to find another company like yours, too,
right,
that had with people had the clearance. Well, that's a success that you've had, but you've also had some false starts and failures along the way, too. That's where I see success really coming into play, that you have the failures, you learn from them, you build from that. So what is something that's top of mind that was a real frustration, failure, setback for you that you were able to turn around and make into a success here at Guardian Services?
Well, you know, when I think of the early days, you know, we would often bid for very large project work, often in the commercial air conditioning system cleaning space. And we were awarded some jobs early on that we just barely had the staff and the personnel to pull together. And we would often have to pull everybody in, which meant that we weren't servicing any of our other customers at the time. And trying to balance the needs of those projects, and then oftentimes taking 90 or 120 days to get paid for that work, created a lot of challenges. I've learned a lot about managing cash flow. Because payroll's due in 2 weeks, whether you've been paid by your customers or not. And so your employees expect to be paid on time. And so kind of robbing Peter to pay Paul for a while there, while I kind of learned the hard knocks of managing commercial projects and working with customers on payment schedules and everything else. Early days, it was very much hand to mouth at times.
Though you got your bachelor's at A&M in political science, you got your PhD from learning business when you had these problems. Yeah. Last year, you received a couple of awards, too, so it shows that you're growing. One of them is the Guardian, the Inc. 5000 Award, and I'm looking at one of your signs, and it says that you are number 254 in Texas for the Texas fastest-growing private companies. Let's talk about that one first. What have you done? What did you do to win that award?
You know, I think the biggest thing that we did was we built an operational engine. We built processes and procedures around, you know, how do we standardize the work that we do and how do we make it more efficient and how do we better train our employees to overcome obstacles in the field? And we spent a lot of time and energy really trying to perfect that model as best we can. And so when the time came, I said, okay, this is really ready to go sell. And through a variety of different channels, we really went out there and sold the product well. And I think, you know, that opened a lot of new doors for us. We winning the DFW contract was huge. That was a big boost for us. But we picked up a number of other large customers as well. And so, you know, it was just about feeling confident that once we were awarded those large business deals, that we could execute on them effectively, that we had the operational know-how and the ability to scale, so that we wouldn't falter in our goal of providing excellent customer service, that we could maintain those standards and that quality regardless of you know, size.
So you mentioned the processes and systems. I can't see your business operating well without strong processes and systems, doing it the same way every single time. So you don't have to think. You can take care of your customers better that way if you have all that down. Let's talk about the Aggie 100. Being an Aggie, I would think that, here's my guess, that means a lot to you, coming from where from your alma mater. But how did you get that one? Was there anything different in winning that award, especially being an Aggie, as compared to the Inc. 5000?
Well, the way the awards are judged is different. The formula they use to determine your rate of growth over time is a little bit different. And I would say that the Aggie 100 is a little stricter in the way that they do things. You know, I would have never imagined leaving, you know, when I was graduating from A&M, coming back to be the recipient of an award. That picture never materialized for me. And so when I went back with my wife for the award ceremony, I hadn't been back to Aggieland in a year or two. And it was a little bit emotional. I was a little struck by it. And it was a beautiful event. They do a great job of really making everyone feel welcome. And it was a lot of fun. Yeah, that was a special one. I'm hoping to repeat on that list.
Well, I hope you get that another time too, and more after that. You mentioned earlier that you were working commercial real estate, and then you left, and through your family, you took over Guardian Services. But you just founded L3 Commercial Real Estate last year. Mm-hmm. Is this bringing back to you what you enjoyed doing when you were in real estate?
It is. You know, I always enjoyed the time that I spent in commercial real estate, and there's just something about buildings and property and that whole industry that appeals to me. And I've had a lot of fun with Guardian, and I've learned a ton about business ownership and management. But what I truly love to do, you know, a lot of it is the commercial real estate side of things, the transactional, the development, and then just working with people to try to take something that's very raw, it's an idea, and bring it to reality, right? That you can physically touch and see it, and then it, you know, then it generates a profit, it generates a return, and people benefit from that. So
I want to talk about your passion in that in a moment. We're speaking with Brett Muller. Brett is principal and founder of Guardian Services and L3 Commercial Real Estate Services. The website for Guardian is guardiandallas.com. And the L3 Commercial Real Estate is L3CRE.com. Well, let's continue with commercial real estate. I can see that's sounds like a passion for you, and it gives you a chance to start from the ground floor and right. build something. But you have your first property at I-30 and 360 in Grand Prairie here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, and that's going to be completed soon.
Imminently, actually. I got a call from the construction company earlier this week. We should be wrapping up this weekend.
Are you actively looking for other properties in the area?
I am, yes. I still think there's a lot of opportunity at that interchange. There's the particular style of property that we're developing is something that's really absent in that marketplace. What little there is completely leased up. And this whole thing kind of started actually from a need that Guardian had to have a presence in that market so that we could be in better proximity to DFW Airport. And so when I originally started looking, I was just looking for something to lease, a place to park some trucks, a warehouse, and I couldn't find anything, and I got frustrated. And so this led me down the path of, well, maybe I could buy a piece of property, maybe I could put a building on it. And then that I caught the bug all over again for commercial real estate, and I enjoyed that process so much. Then I said, you know, I really need to reconnect with that. And I've maintained contacts in that industry, and the people have always come to me with questions and, hey, can you help me out with this? Can you help me out with that? And I said, I think there's an opportunity here. We could kind of put this together and provide some value to folks who are, you know, in a similar situation. They have a piece of property. They want to do something with it. We can help them out.
It sounds like you almost have a niche business where you're looking for things and helping them solve a problem as it pertains to real estate.
Right.
Well, you also get involved with working with students, mm-hmm. other entrepreneurs, mentoring and coaching them. Talk about what you're doing and how you're helping them succeed.
Well, it comes from wanting to give back. I was just this intrepid, bold solo entrepreneur, and I figured all out by myself is a lie. It had tons of help along the way. Many, many people who were willing to give freely of their time and energy to help me solve problems, to help me overcome obstacles. And in just wanting to give back some of that time and energy to other people, I found that I really enjoy it quite a bit. And I'm having a lot of fun with it. And so for me, it's like a little mini vacation when I get to sit down and talk about somebody else's business and try to understand what are the challenges and what are they working through. And, you know, is there a way that I can share some of my experience that's going to be meaningful for them? And I've connected with a number of people that way, both students at A&M through some of their programs. I've been involved with the McFerrin Center for Entrepreneurship, and they had an event here in Fort Worth a couple weeks ago that I spoke at. And then just through connections through EO Dallas and through Nifty and through some of the other groups that I've worked with, trying to find people that, you know, I can give a hand to.
Well, EO, and I work with a lot of groups that work with owners and CEOs, provides you a real good support system, too, because you get to share problems with each other and help each other, too. Did you get involved with that early on, or is that a recent involvement?
I did. That was almost 6 years ago now that I joined EO Dallas. I was referred to it by another business owner I met at a convention. We ended up sitting at lunch together, and I was just kind of talking about my journey and what was going on. And the guy said, "Hey, man, you ought to go check these guys out." Because one of the problems I was having was that at the time I purchased Guardian from the family that owned it. You know, I was 29 years old, and you know, any of the conferences that I had attended in the industries that we service, the next youngest business owner was probably in his mid-50s. And so there was just very little peer support there. I didn't really feel like I had anybody around me who understood what I was dealing with and what I was trying to accomplish. I had support from my family and friends, but they don't necessarily hold you accountable in the same way that maybe a fellow business owner can, when they can say, hey, you said you were going to do this and you didn't do it. What's the problem? And so joining EO and getting involved in a forum and being surrounded by other really, really bright, really passionate business owners with fascinating businesses of their own, the ability to sit down and talk through our challenges and help each other was just really, it was a game changer for me.
Just one idea from every single meeting would expand your business dramatically as long as you act on it. And we're only limited by our ideas, but you're all focused in the same direction. You want to help each other too. I'm looking at your mission and your values. Your mission is to protect life and property by providing exceptional cleaning and maintenance services for your clients' critical systems. I like that, but I'm even more impressed with your values. I'm going to read these, and I want to have you talk about them a little bit in terms of how you came up with this. People before profit. Teamwork is essential to our success. We thrive in innovation and change. Responsibility to each other and community. We are problem solvers. This says nothing about Guardian Services or even L3. Where did that come from, and how did that you direct that to the values for your businesses?
Well, you know, that mission and values was written because I wanted to make sure that it was clear to each and every person that came to work at Guardian who we are, what we're about, and why we're here. I think purpose is key to maintaining a sense of why are you doing this and where are you going with it. And the work that we do, you know, the technicians in the field, it's challenging work. It's night work. You're working in difficult spaces and dangerous spaces, and so I wanted them to have that connection to what is the reason that we're up there doing that. And also I wanted them to understand that without the people, there is no business. I couldn't possibly duplicate what we have here with just another set of people. There are folks who have been instrumental to our growth and success and who remain instrumental to our growth and success. And so people are key. And I think also it's important to understand that while we work to live, we don't live to work. And so work-life balance has always been an important focus for me. I want people to be here to put in an honest day's work and then go home to their families and live their lives. And, the burning the midnight oil and all those kinds of things. I was asked to do those kinds of things at other businesses, and it never really seemed to result in any great epiphanies or successes. And so I take a much more balanced approach to how we can go about being successful as a group of people, happier, well-rested, and successful together.
You've answered part of the question I'm going to ask next, but with listening to what you just said, one word comes to mind, and that word is leadership. EO is probably a part of that, is my guess, but where did you develop or how did you develop your leadership style?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. I was a Boy Scout growing up and served in leadership roles in the troop that I was a part of. I've always tended to want to take responsibility for leadership, right? To step out front and to try and help everyone be successful as a team, as a group. I played on a lot of sports teams growing up. Baseball and football, and it just always seemed to come natural to me that I was comfortable in that role and that responsibility. And for me, it's not about, you know, the light shining on you or the focus. It's about how you can help people organize. I like the metaphor of everybody in a boat. Can we all row in the same direction? Because we're going to get where we're trying to get to a lot faster, right, if we all row in the same direction. And so, you know, that's always been something that I've enjoyed doing, is trying to help a group of people. Hey, let's align what we're trying to accomplish here so that we can all get there together.
Because there's no way you can get there by yourself.
Not a chance.
It's having the right kind of people. This has been wonderful. I enjoyed talking about this. How would someone get a hold of you then if they want to find out more about Guardian or L3?
Well, Guardian certainly can give us a call. The office number here is 214-637-1520. L3, there's a form on our website you can reach out to, or through my email is available as well. And I've given you all that contact information for the website.
And that is on our website too, yeah. PlaymakersTalkShow.com. Well, Brett, thank you very much for being a part of Playmakers Talk Show.
Really enjoyed it.
This has been a great show. You are definitely a playmaker. A playmaker is somebody that makes things happen, and you obviously are doing that. And thanks to all of you for joining us and for listening to us. Join us again at PlaymakersTalkShow.com, where you get all of our past episodes. That's PlayMakersTalkShow.com, and we're going to be back with more Playmakers. See you then.
You've been listening to Playmakers Talk Show with Steve Klein. Join Steve again at PlayMakersTalkShow.com for more interviews with interesting and successful playmaking CEOs and executives.